This morning, our speaker is UUFM member Shelly McCormick. Shelly is a software test engineer with Tractor Supply Company and an agnostic atheist Christian. Shelly grew up in the Presbyterian Church, and in an exploration of belief systems after a long religious hiatus, she found Unitarian Universalism and joined the UU Fellowship of Sonoma County in 2002. As a UUFM member, Shelly is active in the UUFM Singers and a leader of our church music program. Shelly will speak on the topic, When Hope is Hard to Find. Let's welcome Shelly.
Good morning. I'm trying not even to get my germs on the microphone, so I really apologize. Agnostic atheist Christian. I don't know if there's a God. I don't much care if there's a God. Christianity is my background and my upbringing, and that's where I draw a lot of my kind of life's morals from, life's lessons. So, when hope is hard to find, it's a line in one of our hymns. It's not my favorite hymn. I didn't choose it to sing today. It's something I found a quote online. Michael Tino said about this song, "We confront the complex reality that something can be both insipid and profound simultaneously." And just to remind you of the lyrics, "Come sing a song with me, come dream a dream with me, come walk in rain with me, come share a rose with me, that I might know your mind, and I'll bring you hope when hope is hard to find. And I'll bring a song of love and a rose in the wintertime." I always kind of wondered about that last line, a rose in the wintertime, what's that about? I first started thinking about this message. I kind of had an idea about, you know, it's the end of the year, it's the start of the new year. Let's talk about hope. Let's talk about, you know, hope for the new year, hope for good, you know, good times. And you know, I was very optimistic. And then last week, I found the difference between real hope and false hope. False hope being the hope based entirely around a fantasy or extremely unlikely outcome. To quote Marcus Tullius Cicero, where there's life, there's hope. And last week, I was hoping for that Christmas miracle that my cat would live. Every time he ate or drank or used his box, made it a little easier to forget what the vet said. Every time he wanted a snuggle, gave me that little spark of hope that I might see that Christmas miracle. And I let that hope blind me to the reality. I let myself believe that he could get better, at least well enough to live a little bit longer and be comfortable and be my companion for a little bit longer. Baruch Spinoza said, "There is no hope unmingled with fear, and no fear unmingled with hope." Of course, I kept reminding myself that he was quite ill, and I joked a little bit, because that's what I do when I'm scared, I joke. I joked about living with Schrodinger's cat. I know that's bad. I might go to hell for that one. I nurtured him, I cared for him, I spoon-fed him, I slept with him on a mat on the floor because he couldn't get onto the bed for a week. In middle age, that's not quite as easy to do as it was when, you know, I was younger. Set my alarm for odd hours to make sure that he was eating and he was drinking. And after, you know, in a few days, he seemed to be getting stronger. He seemed to be feeling better. H. Jackson Brown Jr., "Hope is the magic carpet that transports us from the present moment into the realm of infinite possibilities." And then he died. Thomas Hardy, "The sudden disappointment of a hope leaves a scar." And that morning, please forgive my language, I realized that this thing that was masquerading as hope was a bigger bitch than karma. Nietzsche said, "Hope is, in reality, is the worst of all evils because it prolongs the torment of man." I promise this will get more hopeful later. So, you know, I left this topic alone for a few days. It took me a little bit to come back to it. And I kind of found myself at a loss of what could I say here. I was not feeling real hopeful. So I did what I do. I went online and I started searching and reading and seeing what other people said about hope. And I've already quoted a few, and I have a few more throughout this. Reading essays, reading blogs, reading lists, reading about other people's experiences with 2017. Emily Dickinson, you'll probably recognize this. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches on the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. Also, Reverend Gouch had been kind enough to send her notes from the Ware Lecture at this year's General Assembly. So, looking back on this year, 2017, how about that? From the inauguration in January, through the natural disasters, through the mass shootings, through the rallies, the Nazis, the illnesses, the loss of jobs, loss of loved ones, in my life, a divorce and the death of a cat. You know, how about that 2017? I'm happy to leave it behind. SplinterNews.com said, putting it very mildly, this year was, on the whole, extremely bad. Esquire.com said 2017 was a real nonstop gut punch of a year, cruel, dispiriting, petty, violent, and callous. Our heroes died, our enemies seized power, and then our heroes who weren't dead turned out to be sex creeps. Yeah. And TampaBay.com said 2017 has been a toilet fire of epic proportions. There have been worse years in history. There have absolutely been worse years in history, and there have been worse years for me personally. But it seems like they've never kind of come together like this in my life, where everything seems to be a toilet fire of epic proportions. So I'll be a little relieved, clock strikes midnight tonight. I'll have a little mental, if I'm awake, which is unlikely, little mental sigh of relief that 2017 is finished. Alfred Lord Tennyson, hope smiles from the threshold of the year to come, whispering, it will be happier. So I couldn't talk about hope without mentioning President Obama and the audacity of hope. In his speech addressing the Democratic National Convention in 2004, he said, in the end, what's this election about? Do we participate in a politics of cynicism or a politics of hope? I'm not talking about blind optimism here, the almost willful ignorance that thinks unemployment will go away if we just don't talk about it, or the healthcare crisis will solve itself if we just ignore it. No, I'm talking about something more substantial. Now, some of you, I'm sure a lot of you know that the title of that speech and his book, The Audacity of Hope, was inspired by his former pastor, Jeremiah Wright, who gave a sermon on a painting called Hope. Now, because that's what I do, I went out and I looked for all these images of hope, and there's pictures of sunrises and flowers and open hands and hearts and kittens and giraffes, dolphins and sea turtles. So, but if you look for this particular painting of hope, you'll see it as Reverend Wright spoke of it, depicting hope with her clothes in rags, her body scarred and bruised and bleeding, her harp all but destroyed, and with only one string left. She had the audacity to make music and praise God, to take the one string you have left, and to have the audacity to hope. Now, Obama recalled it as the audacity of hope, thus turning hope from a verb to a noun. Grammatically speaking, it can be either. It can be a noun, it can be a verb. But it matters because as a noun, like love, hope is something you either have or you don't, something you give or you take. As a verb, it becomes something you do. I followed that trail through the internet and came across the work of someone named Joanna Macy, who I had not encountered before. She is an environmental activist, an author, a scholar of Buddhism, general systems theory, and deep ecology. She wrote, that passive hope is about waiting for external agencies to bring about what we desire. Active hope is about becoming active participants in bringing about what we hope for. Active hope is a practice like Tai Chi or gardening. It is something we do rather than have. It is a process we can apply to any situation. It involves three key steps, and I think I'm going to put these steps on my refrigerator. The steps are: take in a clear view of reality, identify our vision for what we hope will happen, and take active steps to help bring that vision about. That is active hope. Active hope doesn't require our optimism, which I find comforting, because optimism, sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. The guiding impetus to active hope is intention. We choose what we aim to bring about. Rather than weighing our chances and proceeding only when we feel hopeful, we focus on our intention and let that be our guide. The difference between optimism and hope is that if we are people of hope, then we're doing our part towards the future that we believe is possible. Cover the rose bushes to protect from a hard freeze. Plant the tulips and trim the trees during previous years. Hope is the catalyst that puts our faith into action. And now I've made the connection between the rose and the winter time and bringing the rose in winter. So, in that spirit of optimism and hope, I'm going to, you know, I found in retrospect that there were some pretty cool things that happened this year. Personally, I got a promotion, and my daughter got married, and her wedding was everything she dreamed of, and her husband is a wonderful man, and I got two grandkids, so that was cool. Mattel announced that they're producing a Barbie wearing a hijab, modeled after the Olympic fencer Ibtihaj Muhammad. The Affordable Care Act survived, barely. It's hanging on. The teen pregnancy rate dropped 9%. It's not something I've been tracking particularly, but it's very hopeful to me that is decreasing. Malala Yousafzai, some of you know of, started her classes at Oxford 5 years after she was shot in the head by the Taliban for speaking out for girls' education. April the giraffe had a baby boy. He was named Tajiri, the Swahili word for hope. 2017 was also full of people bringing hope. It seemed like hope was hard to find, but if you looked everywhere, people were bringing it every day. The Women's March, that was reported to be the largest single day demonstration on record in the U.S. Millions of extraordinary and ordinary men and women, many of them wearing pink hats, around the world, marching in solidarity. An unprecedented number of women are running for office. Men and women, ordinary people who had never thought about entering politics, are stepping up because they know they can make a difference. Natural disasters, the news and my Facebook feeds were full of stories of people stepping up to help their neighbors, to feed their neighbors, to rescue their neighbors from the floods, to, you know, set up shelters, to offer space in their homes, bringing food, bringing help, and bringing hope. In January, the Victoria Islamic Center in Texas burned down. Churches and synagogues reached out to help. They brought hope. They raised more than $1 million to rebuild. And by September, that same mosque was distributing supplies to the Harvey victims. In Murfreesboro, I saw myself when the Murfreesboro, the mosque was vandalized. The immediate outpouring of support from the community rallied and showed up and brought hope. In Virginia, just last month, More people voted for Donica Rome for Virginia State Legislature rather than the man who described himself as the chief homophobe who had introduced the bathroom bill. Those people showed up. They brought hope. The immediate reaction we all saw to the first travel ban, when thousands and thousands of ordinary people just eating their dinner dropped what they were doing and showed up, went to the airports, protested, brought help, and brought hope. Elie Wiesel said, just as despair can come to one only from another human being, hope too can be given to one only by another human being. In Australia, more people than not, something like almost two-thirds of the people in Australia voted for marriage equality. To me, they brought hope. In Panama City, some of you may have seen in the news, two young boys swept out to sea, caught in the riptide. Their mother tried to reach them, she got caught. The other family members tried to save them. They too were pulled into the tide. Somebody on the shore, some quick-thinking, just ordinary person, saw what was going on, gathered up everyone he could, just random strangers on the beach, formed a human chain, passed the family back to safety. Something that brought me incredible hope this year was the Murfreesboro Loves Movement. Seemingly, it sprang out of nothing. It was not there one day, and the next day it was there. It was awesome. The people of Shelbyville and Murfreesboro who stood up and said, no, this is a place where everyone is welcome and everyone is loved. The people, even the people passing by in their cars as we were standing out on Church Street, waving and honking and giving us the thumbs up and the peace sign and the, you know, they were showing their support and they were bringing hope. Calvin Coolidge said, little progress can be made by merely attempting to repress what is evil. Our great hope lies in developing what is good. There was a man in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. This is one of those human interest stories. Walked into Toys R Us on Black Friday, paid for all the toys that were on layaway. What he said, I'm trying to bring some happiness to people, to the community that brought happiness to me and my family. I love this community and I'm trying to provide back to it. And, excuse me, Lauren Perrier in Virginia, extreme couponing, young woman, brought her talents to feeding people in need. She set a goal of providing 30,000 meals by her 30th birthday. Her birthday was in September. She reached that goal in March. She started an organization. They have a website. They've now provided over 68,000 meals. Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. In Brian Ware's lecture at the GA, which unfortunately is not available online, so I only have a few notes that Denise had taken, he said that if we do four things, we can create movement towards justice. The third of those four things was hope. He called hopelessness the enemy of justice and asks us to fight against what makes us feel hopeless. So what does that mean to me? It means that when I feel hopeless, I can still bring you hope. And when you feel hopeless, you can still bring it to me. This is where the song becomes less insipid and more profound. I'll bring you hope when hope is hard to find. It's not about trying to convince you that everything is going to be all right. Quite often, everything's not going to be all right. But it's about sharing your song and your dream. It's the act of walking with you in the rain. We bring each other hope by our actions, and we bring our community hope by standing with its most vulnerable people. You bring me hope when you show by your actions that I'm not alone, when you walk with me in the rain. UUA President Susan Frederick Gray said in her holiday message this year, this has been an especially difficult year for so many, and asks that we lean into the hope of who we are together. So let's start looking forward to 2018, a year when many of us will still have illness, unemployment, family problems, loss of loved ones, relationship issues. The problems will all still be there. The political climate will still be there. The Earth's climate will still be there. But we'll have the first commercial flight to Antarctica. You will have to get yourself to Tierra del Fuego first, but from there, I know, right? From there, you'll be able to fly to Antarctica. Prince Harry is getting married to an American. I think that's their long game. You know, they're going to get the colonies back. We will observe the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act of 1968, and we will sadly also observe the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination. There is much to hope for, and there is much to do. You all bring me hope every Sunday just by being here and showing me that I'm not alone. You bring me hope by participating in this community and by showing me how to engage with the larger community, by sharing your joys and concerns, by sharing your lives. So my New Year's resolution, I usually don't have them, but I have one this year, and I think I might be able to keep it. My New Year's resolution is to do what I can to bring hope, to stand by the people who need someone to stand by them, to show up when someone needs someone to show up, to walk with you in the rain. That's my resolution, and I hope you will all hold me accountable to it this year. Thank you. Blessed be, may it be so, and amen.